it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Going to be a great program today. I'll tell you, you know, there is magic in this world. Black magic. Evil vibrations. I want to talk to you about those today. I was always amazed, you know, back when I was a young man and I would read the Bible. The Bible had so many warnings about idolatry, that we should not worship idols. And in fact, you know, in the Old Testament, we have the Ten Commandments given God to Moses, and they're wonderful for instruction for us today. And certainly those laws are inscribed in the hearts of Christians everywhere. But the second of these commandments directs us not to worship idols or even, engravings. In other words, symbols and so forth. Don't worship idols, God tells us. There evidently is something powerfully evil about idols. Now, recently we released a video here at Power of Prophecy about idols, but it wasn't, you know, it didn't have the word idols in it. It was entitled Face to Face with the Devil. Because every idol is a representation, an imitation, if you will, that envisages the devil. When you worship an idol, you're paying homage to, you're venerating, you're worshiping, you're adoring the devil. That's why statues are so prominent in all of the satanic false religions. Hinduism, Buddhism, African tribal worship. Yes, dear friends, every false religion practically has its idols, its statues. Stony beast, I call them. Menacing devils. Idols. And they're everywhere. And when you see this video that we put out in DVD format, Face to Face with the Devil, you'll find out they might be in your backyard, in your neighborhood, maybe inside your house, and you didn't even know about it. Now, there are many forms of these devil entities. That's what I call them. They're entities. But here's a question for you. And I, by the way, I'm going to explain to you as we go along today exactly the meaning of these things, because this is something important. I thought, you know, when I used to read the Bible as a young man, I thought, well, those stupid ancient pagan peoples, ha, 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 they actually really believed these idols, these statues could be worshipped, could be prayed to and honored, and that the statues could even perhaps talk to them. And give them, you know, some kind of a spiritual or even prosperous type awards or rewards, I should say. And so they would go into the temple and bow down before the idol and expect to be rewarded in some way by the idol. I had no idea that now, today, in the 21st century, men everywhere worship idols. I'm going to prove that to you. We Americans worship idols too. They're all around us. Representations of Satan, and we honor them in a patriotic manner even. And I don't see how God can bless a nation that honors deviltry through material idols. Because at the least, we're violating one of the Ten Commandments. By the way, I might mention to you, in those Ten Commandments, did you know that the Roman Catholic Church, in some of its Bible versions, took out the Second Commandment? They were left then with only 9 commandments. So, you know, they had to take one of the other commandments and make it into 2. I believe it was what the 9th commandment that said, you know, you should not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his ox or his ass, you know, or whatever, his donkeys, you know, his animals, in other words. So they made that into 2. So they could have 10 commandments. Now, why would the Roman Catholic Church, why would the Vatican, and if you don't believe it, by the way, the most popular version, Bible version in the Catholic Church, and of course they didn't do much honoring of the Bible. The priests basically would tell people, you really don't need to know the Bible. We'll teach you everything you need to know in our catechisms and in our masses. But the most popular version of the Catholic Bible was the Douay Rheims version. And you check there, you find out the second commandment was missing. And that's because so many Protestants said of the Catholics, well, you worship idols. Because when you go into a Catholic church, you're always going to have statues of not only Jesus, but Mary and Joseph. Worship of idols. So the Catholic Church got tired of hearing that. I guess they said, well, we'll just take out the commandment from the Bible and then we can't be accused of disobeying the second commandment. Well, that's nice. You know, if you're in sexual sin, just take out all the verses that have to do with sex. And if you're a liar, we'll take all the ones that have to do with liar. And if you're a murderer and so on. I don't think God's going to go for that. In fact, it's a very dangerous thing to remove anything from the Bible. There's a curse put on anyone that takes out anything, even a dot, you know, anything, a comma. I'd be very careful about attempting to remove or change or omit something from God's word or add to it. All the plagues of the book of Revelation will be heaped on your head. That very book of Revelation says, if you do that. Now, let's talk about these stony beast and menacing devil idols that are everywhere about us. Who erected them? Are they alive? That may sound foolish to ask a question like that. Are idols alive? Are statues alive? Can they possess human souls? I want to start off with God. I think it's always a good place to start. The Bible says that God is spirit. And we must worship him in spirit and truth. So right away, we know that God is not an idol. He has no form that you and I can understand because he's a spirit. And so if you go to heaven, well, don't look for some big statue to worship. Don't look for some entity like in the movie, The Wizard of Oz, behind the curtain or in front of the curtain, wherever. God is a spirit. Somebody told me, in fact, a number of people have written to me and told me and tried to correct me. And they've told me that Jesus has a Jewish body in heaven today. Quite a shocker. Listen, friends. Jesus is God. He said, I and the Father are one. He's much greater than the flesh. The Bible says that dust returns to dust. Flesh becomes dust once again and becomes part of this earth and is no longer heard from ever again. So the Bible makes clear that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus cannot possibly be flesh in material form. Even Paul said that when we as Christians receive our eternal reward of heaven, he said, we do not know what substance we will be, but we know we will be like him. Now, if Jesus was in a Jewish fleshly body, Paul would have said, when we get to heaven, we're going to have a Jewish body just like him. But he didn't say that. You don't know what essence, what substance, what form God will be. are Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne on the right side of God. But we know that we will be like him. We will not be him, but we will be somehow the same essence as he is. I can assure you, you will not have his universal intelligence, but I think you'll have a lot more than you have today. I think we're going to learn a whole lot the day we die. A lot of knowledge is going to be opened up to you and me. I'm looking forward to that. My little pea brain, you know, expanding exponentially on that day through God's great power of the supernatural. Now, I think we need to get into this because so many people have said, what's wrong with statue worship? What's wrong with idols? What harm can it do? And it seems to be ridiculous to say, can these things actually be alive? Can they even possess human souls? You know, I read a book some years ago about the life of Nikola Tesla. Nikola Tesla was a fantastic inventor and scientist. He came from Eastern Europe and he came to the United States. He lived alone. He lived really a life of a hermit. He died penniless. His only friend at the time of his death was a pigeon. He would walk across from the solitary room in an old boarding house hotel where he lived, and he would walk over to the public park across the street every day and feed the pigeons. He imagined that they were his friends, and one of them, even he believed, possessed the soul of the only woman he said he had ever loved, his lost love. Very poignant and tragic case. But Tesla was such a fantastic inventor. He was called the prodigal genius, and he made it possible for us to have electricity. Now, Thomas Alva Edison gave us the light bulb and was owned a lot of these things, but it was Tesla that invented the turbine, the motor, that made these gigantic, you know, dynamo turbines and these generating, electric generating plants possible. And he was really cheated out of his idea by George Westinghouse. You know, Westinghouse, the gigantic corporation, who paid him a pittance for his ideas. And then Westinghouse, of course, later became a billionaire many times over through the efforts of this poor man, Nikola Tesla. Now, unfortunately for Tesla, the reason he was a prodigal genius is because he had no idea of Jesus Christ. So what did all of his brains and intelligence do for him? Well, not much. But one of his ideas, he did study religions, and he studied especially the Hindu religion, and probably he believed in the Hindu religion more than any other. And he said, he noted that in the Hindu religion, they worshiped God in many forms. The formats of God, the types of God, or goddess, whichever you prefer, because you can either worship God or a goddess in India. There's millions of deities and gods and goddesses in the Hindu religion. But he said behind them all is this one universal God who is a force. And the Hindus, Tesla notice, use the word prana, or universal energy force. And they said that man could tap into or access this universal force God. Now, I found that very interesting when I read that Tesla had said that, because, you see, in the book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel said that in the last days, the Antichrist king would not, and even the people of Israel would not worship the God of their fathers, but instead would worship the God of forces. I have every assurance that in modern movies, sci-fi movies like Star Trek, especially Star Wars, where we have Darth Vader and all the other dark characters, but even the good guys, Luke Skywalker, whatever his name was, they would always have the epitaph, you know, the like the benediction to each other. May the force be with you. That's the God of forces, the devil, Lucifer. He's the God of forces. A God that the fathers, Moses, Abraham, Jacob, knew not, because it's the devil. All of these stony beasts, in whatever format, whatever size they are, whatever material, whether it's wood or metal or plaster or marble or alabaster, all have the same characteristic in that they represent the devil in his many forms. And listen, friends, the devil has no problem coming to you disguised as a woman, as a man, as a beast, an animal, as a spirit, as some kind of a smoky mist substance. The devil can take many shapes and disguises. In fact, the Apostle Paul said the devil can even come disguised as an angel of light and thereby deceive so many. Now, Paul said something interesting about all the idols and the worship, the false gods worshipped in his day. And the idols were everywhere, the gods and the goddesses of Greece and Rome and Asia Minor were multiplied in every city. They would have local gods as well as, you know, universal gods and goddesses. He said, Paul said something interesting. He said, an idol in itself is nothing, but there are devils behind them. Ha ha, yes. I have heard, and I believe sincerely in my heart. If you want to call me foolish and silly, you may do so. Many people have called me names, text Mars names over the years, and none of that bothers me. I know what is true, and that's the only thing I'm interested in. But I know that people who have worshiped idols, and they take these idols out, and they burn them, or they crush them, and destroy them, that sometimes, maybe even often, this force that is within those material substances are thereby released, and they have actually heard devils cry out in agony. Back some years ago, they had a real craze or a crush by kids, young girls, for Cabbage Patch dolls. And these dolls would come, every doll was made by the manufacturer with just a little bit different shape in their body or face or whatever. So they were like unique. And they came with an authentication, like a birth certificate. They all each had an individual name. Now what the mothers didn't know was Hindu New Agers evidently were behind the Cabbage Patch dolls, from what I understand. And the names actually were the names of Hindu gods and goddesses. So the little girl was embracing her little baby god or goddess of the Hindu devil religion. And when some Christians found out about this, they actually had a burning, a public burning of Cabbage Patch dolls. I'm sure the little girls were sort of upset about losing their Cabbage Patch dolls. I don't know all the details of it. But somebody sent me a letter, and they said they were there at the burning, and they literally heard the voices and screams of devils as the Cabbage Patches dolls were burned. Again, is it ridiculous? Is it silly? Well, you judge. The Bible says in the last days, 200 million demons or devils, they call them warriors, will come up from the pit. But they are at this moment bound up, the Bible says, in the river Euphrates. But in the last days, they will come from the east and invade the west part of the world. We live in what is called the west, Europe, North America. In the east, of course, are all these devil idols of Buddhism, Hinduism, Shintoism, as is practiced in Japan. And in all of these countries, Indonesia and others, they have these tribal gods and goddesses. And they have erected demon statues, which they worship. that represent actual devils. And the Bible says 200 million army of these devils will be released in the last days. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the angel whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue, another is language, has the name Apollyon. And he is the leader of these tens of millions, a horde of devils, legions. They're released out of the pit in the last days, and they come from the east. I've often wondered, in the 1960s, when the Beatles, these four characters, came from England and seemed to have some supernatural power to seduce children and young people, even older people, through their music. And they went over to India then, and they assisted the invasion of the West by all of these Hindu gurus. And the New Age movement, and you might remember the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood in San Francisco, and the flower children and the hippies and all of that, and all of the drugs, the cocaine and heroin and marijuana, hashish and so forth, that came from the East with all of these gurus, the Rajneesh and Sai Baba and all the others that brought all these strange things into America for the first time. I wonder if that was that 200 million devils released into the world. Now, here's the interesting thing. The Bible says that they are bound up in the river Euphrates and held there, confined there, imprisoned in the river. Now, here's something else interesting for you. The Bible, in its prophecy, said that in the last days, up to the, you know, the last days, in the last days, that the river Euphrates would be dried up. Would be dried up, so that these devils could come forth. What is the meaning of that? And how is it that these devils are confined or bound up in a river? Obviously, they are made up of some kind of a substance, spiritual, but they're bound up in a river. And, of course, isn't it interesting, isn't it fascinating that in India today, the Hindus go to their sacred rivers and immerse themselves. And they say that they acquire the spirits of their ancestors and the spirits of the gurus and the gods and the goddesses by immersing themselves in the sacred rivers, the Ganges and the others. You know, I believe them. They become demon-possessed through the waters of their sacred rivers. Went on an airplane ride one time, and lady sitting next to me. This was one of the very few occasions that Wanda didn't go with me on a trip. I was on some television show in California, a talk show, and I came back, and this lady sitting next to me, or, you know, just by chance. We had seat numbers, and we, you know, had to sit where they assigned us. And I had my briefcase there, and you can see, you know, I wasn't trying to take it out and show it to everybody, but I had my Bible, my Holy Bible, in my briefcase. And this lady next to me, she was probably about 30, 32 years old, maybe 35, I don't know. She looked at that. I didn't know her, you know, at all. I mean, she's just a passenger like myself. She said, "Is that a Bible?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I hate Christians. I don't believe in Christianity." I said, "Really?" And she went on to say that, you know, she despised Christians and Christian leaders and teachers so much that she could not bear to be in a place called heaven where they might be. And so, you know, I sort of politely let her know that if she didn't want to go to heaven and be with Christians, then, you know, God would no doubt accommodate her desires. I wasn't trying to be smarlickly, but you know that's true. It is true. You don't want to go to heaven to be with God. Well, there's another place that you can be sent. And then she said something interesting to me. I didn't know we were both headed for Dallas, but then she went on with not with me, but in the same plane. We exchanged planes in Dallas and came here to Austin, Texas. Turned out she was a teacher. She was a teacher in the Austin Independent School District, an art teacher. We got to talking, and she said, I'm an art teacher. You know, I told her I was a Christian writer. I was a Christian researcher, had a Christian ministry. And she just scowled at me. It was almost like she hated me. I was trying to be as nice and kind as I could. She said she was an art teacher, and she taught, I think it was third grade kids, if I can remember. I said, well, that's a wonderful thing, a nice profession. She said, well, I believe in the New Age movement over Christianity. I said, oh, really? She said, yes, and I sneak it in every chance I get in my art classes. I assign art projects for the kids to do that will teach them about the New Age Eastern religions. Nobody knows I'm doing it. Even the parents are Christian parents are too stupid to know what I'm doing. Isn't that interesting? She was a secret agent, you might say, for the devil working in our public school system. And I asked her, I says, well, you're in the New Age movement. There are many gods and goddesses. Which one do you worship? Boy, what a question that was. Which one of the many do you worship, ma'am? And you know, her face, it just almost glowed. She changed demeanors, and I could see some strange look in her eyes. It was almost like a trance had taken over her body as we just sit there. I mean, you know, those planes, those seats are so tight, you know, you're shoulder to shoulder practically. And she looked at me, she said, of course there are many gods and goddesses, but I have a very special goddess whom I worship. Her name is Kuan Yin. I said, oh, I know of Kuan Yin. And she was shocked. She said, you do? I said, oh, yes, I've studied Kuan Yin. She's the Chinese river goddess. She says, you know of Kuan Yin? I said, oh, yes. Yes, I know of her. I know the Chinese who worship her. Yes. I said, so do you pray and meditate to Kuan Yin, the Chinese river goddess? She said, yes, I do, all the time. I said, has she appeared to you? She says, no, but I'm hoping that she will. I said, well, ma'am, you just continue to meditate and pray to her, and she will come. She will come to you. And, of course, the bottom line was, it would be a devil. Friends, this is the end result. You pray to false idols, to false gods, and the devil will accommodate you. They very often will make an appearance on your behalf. But the end result, well, that's another story. Now, I want you to understand something, that people living today, millions of people, believe and worship in stony beast and menacing devil idols. For example, in the Caribbean islands, in Cuba and Bermuda and many other places, in Haiti, Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, and all these places, they have voodoo dolls. Voodoo dolls. And they believe that they can take a pin and stick it in a certain part of the anatomy of the doll and put a curse on you or me at a distance. And so the devil dolls, the voodoo dolls then, are like substitutes for energy forces that can be operated on long distance. Is this true? Can you and I, even our health, be affected by voodoo dolls, black magic? Well, we'll talk about that and much more. I'm going to ask the question when we come back in just a moment. Are computers alive? Are robots living beings? And what does that have to do with your future and mine and the future of planet Earth? You're listening to Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. We're talking about stony beast and menacing idols. And we'll be right back after this brief message. You know, I just got back from Washington, D.C. I'm Tex Mars, and I had a wonderful time there. Had a conference with American Free Press, sponsored it, and just had a marvelous time. But while I was in Washington, D.C., I made another quick tour of the city, and it's very meaningful monuments, statues, and so forth. And I noticed once again the power of these stony beasts. That's what they were. The obelisk, for example. From my hotel room, I can look out and see two prominent landmarks just out the window. And other guests commented on the, isn't it a wonderful hotel that you can look out and see the U.S. Capitol building on one side? And then over on the left side, you can see the Washington Monument, 555 feet tall, aspiring to the skies. And I thought about that. They said, aren't they beautiful? Aren't they lovely? Aren't they a sign of American freedom? But I thought, no. They're a sign of the devil's bondage. They really are. Now listen, no one can be more patriotic than Tex Mars. But on the other hand, you have to understand what you're dealing with. Because at the time of our nation's founding, there were genuine Christians. But there were also people who were deceitful, who seeded this country with stony beast and menacing devil idols. The great goddess stands atop the dome of the U.S. Capitol. Who is she? And that great obelisk, is it not an Egyptian symbol of deity? Is it not a sign of resurrection of the dead? But what happens upon that resurrection? Is it also not a sign of sexual prowess of the great Egyptian sun god? Yes, it is. I talk about that in my book, Mysterious Monuments, and you'll want to get that book. But more than that, I have a new video called Face to Face with the Devil. It's about 60 minutes long, and I'm telling you, friends, you'll find the most incredible beast, the most incredible entities of evil shown in this video from all over the world. You may not believe this, but we are constantly, you and I, having close encounters of a devil kind with these beasts in stone, in wood, and in many other substances. And there are demonic entities behind or perhaps contained even within these material substances. I want you to have that video, Face to Face with the Devil, for $25. It's in DVD format. Please, order it today. If you have not seen it, you will not regret ordering this outstanding video. I do the narration, of course, and I want you to know that nobody writes a script for Tex Mars. I don't even write a script myself. I speak it out as God puts it in my heart to say. And you'll be amazed at the depth of research that God has guided me to. And I do give God credit for guiding me to these things and showing me and helping me to understand so that I can pass this knowledge on to you. The Bible says that God's people perish without knowledge. We want you to have all the knowledge. The Apostle Paul said, "For we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil." In the book of Daniel, it says that the last days Antichrist, ruler of the world, that craft, that is witchcraft, will prosper in his hands. And through these devil idols, witchcraft is prospering around the world. But you and I do not have to be a victim of the lack of knowledge. We can know what these things are, how to combat them, how to protect ourselves from supernatural forces in the last days. And that's the meaning, the purpose of my video, Face to Face with the Devil. Now, $25, please add $5 shipping and handling, total of $30 postpaid. Order it by calling us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or write to us and send us a check or money order or cash for $30. Ask for the video, Face to Face with the Devil. Send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now let's return to our regular program, Power of Prophecy. We're talking about stony beast, menacing devils. You know, the Bible in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, is an incredible passage. There, Ezekiel, the prophet, is told to dig in the wall at the temple in Jerusalem, and he will see something. And he did. He did exactly what God said. And he looked inside the hole that he had dug in the wall. And what did he see? He saw wicked abominations. He said, so I went in and saw. This is verse 10 of chapter 8 of Ezekiel. I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. They had paintings, they had murals of all these beasts and entities on the wall. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, that is God speaking with Ezekiel in his vision, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. You see, in the great temple, these high priests of Israel, who pretended to worship Jehovah, the great God, instead worshiped all of these creeping beasts and entities and astrological deities. But you had to dig in the wall. God allowed Ezekiel to see things that even the people of Israel, the common, ordinary citizen, could not see, that their high priests were Satan worshipers. Now, I want to tell you something today, friends. I have evidence, documentation, that right here in the United States, many so-called high priests of the Episcopal, the Lutheran, the Baptist, the Unitarian, and all these other churches are worshiping devils. And they're not doing it innocently. They are purposely worshiping great idols of hell. You say, Tex, that cannot be. I go to my church and he gives nice, wonderful sermons, warm fuzzies and all that. Maybe so. But do you know what he's doing behind the chambers? Even in the imagery of his own mind, his own chambers of his mind, is he not worshiping devil idols? Perhaps he is. I'm not saying, I don't know anything about your local pastor, but I know what's going on around this world. And men pretending to be so holy and pious, but secretly Satan worshipers. That's what Masons are. Freemasons, as they go up higher, they have these demonic entities emblazoned on their walls and dragon-like serpents. Even at the house of the temple, exactly 13 blocks from the White House. And I just saw that last week when I went to Washington, D.C., the house of the temple of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, right there, that valuable real estate, worshiping the devil in the midst of all the politicians on Capitol Hill. And what is the capital building of the United States but a house of the devil, a temple of Satan? How can they do good when they worship in a corrupt temple of hell in our own nation's capital? Now, Ezekiel then was able to see what the common ordinary citizen could not see. And this is going on in America. Now, a lot of people say, Tex, is this true that this will happen in the last days? Oh, yes, it's happened throughout history. Do you remember in the book of Daniel, it says that Nebuchadnezzar, his evil spiritual counselors advised him to build an image of gold, a great statue. It says in Daniel chapter 3 that Nebuchadnezzar, now he was the king, you see, of Babylon at the time, of Persia. It says here in chapter 3, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height, get this, was 60, that's 60, cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. Ah, we have a representation of 666. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. A great golden image codified with the number 666. And he directed all the people that at whatever time they heard the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all the other kinds of music, that they should bow down and worship the idol. But of course, we know that three men of God who worship the only true God refused to bow. And they were cast into a fiery furnace for their refusal to worship this golden beast image that Nebuchadnezzar had erected. Men are being led today, dear friends, in the United States and around the world to build new idols. Maybe they're not made of gold, although I can show you in the Orient statues of Buddha, the golden Buddha and the others, the emerald Buddha, and all of you go to Rome and you can see all of the statues in the Catholic churches that are encrafted with all kinds of gems and gold and precious metals and things. So this has been going on for a long time, but listen to what the Bible says will happen in the days prophesied in the book of Revelation. It's in Revelation 13, dear friends. Revelation 13. Two beasts, the book talks about. It says, verse 11 of chapter 13 says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them," he was a deceiver, "that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth," my friends, you and I dwell on the earth. He's going to speak to us. I don't know whether it'll be by TV, through the internet, but you're going to get a message. You're going to be told what to do. And what does he say? He says to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. An image of the beast. And you'll be told to worship it. It will speak. It will walk. It's alive. If you refuse, you'll be killed. And following that in the very next verse, it talks about the mark or the name or the number of the beast will be given to every man. Those who refuse, the resistors, they'll be killed. They'll be beheaded. Are beasts alive? Obviously, this is an image of the beast that will walk and speak and cause. He's the one, this image of the beast will cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Is he alive? Are they alive? Can they possess human souls? You know, two of the most dangerous men that ever lived were Carl Jung, a Swiss psychiatrist, and Sigmund Freud, another psychiatric nut who was on the cocaine and everything else. But Carl Jung is quoted as saying that the human brain is a machine. And the human brain is a machine that could be operated by a ghost. I wonder about that. I believe a lot of people's brains are being operated by ghosts, by demon powers. The Bible makes clear Jesus cast out many devils from human beings. They have taken over the minds of men today. This force, these demons, these legions. Nikola Tesla, who we talked about earlier, who believed in this Hindu force, that is called prana, said that human beings are nothing more than meat machines. meat machines. If you and I have no real soul that can be saved or redeemed by God, then it is true that you and I are nothing more than meat machines. And if so, then our brain is like a computer that can be corralled, that can be commandeered and taken over by superior beings, devils. Many years ago, I read an interesting book by an Englishman, a scientist. It was entitled, Are Computers Alive? Now, at the time, I was deep into high technology. You may not realize that I've written many books on high technology, books that were main selections of the Computer Book Club, the Electronic Book Club, and so forth. In fact, I wrote the very first encyclopedia of robots entitled The Personal Robot Book, about robots that someday would look and act like human beings. And through artificial intelligence software capability, they could become like people. Science fiction novels by men such as Isaac Asimov. I remember his most famous book was entitled I, Robot. You may have seen the incredible movie The Blade Runner, where robots or androids are given a form of life by human creators, and the substance used, some kind of a rubbery plastic, who knows what it is, maybe some future substance, seems so lifelike. Recently, on the internet, robot computer engineers from Japan came out with android-looking creatures, women, beautiful. You had to look very close because they had eyeballs and they would, blink their eyes. They were programmed internally by internal computers. They would even blink their eyes and move their arms. Just last year, a gentleman wrote a book entitled Sex with Robots. He said within 20 or 30 years, human beings will be able to choose sex partners from robots. Buy your own robot. Have sex with it. You don't need a man or a woman. I don't know. A little bit creepy, but I don't know. Can you marry a robot? I don't know. Probably so. What really is life? What is a human being? The famous philosopher Descartes said it comes down to this. I think, therefore, I am. If you can think, you are. But what if the computer can think? What if the artificial intelligence, it's more intelligent and has more consciousness than a human being? Will there be a robot rebellion? Will someday they be so superior to us flesh machines that they can take over the earth and we'll become their slaves? Could that happen? Some people say so. It can get frightening. In my book, Mysterious Monuments, I have the old tale of Herman Melville, entitled The Bell Tower. It seems that in this ancient Italian village, this inventor was fantastic in building bell towers, clock towers. And he built the little puppet-like creatures, out of metal. And so that, at a certain hour, the door would open up and the creature would come out with the anvil or the hammer. And he would bing, 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 and he would, count off the hours. And the people of the village, they hired this famous artisan, this craftsman, to build them a great bell tower. And he would ring the bell. And so he would come out, the door would open and the mechanism would begin to operate, with all of its wheels and such, these ancient clocks. And then this strange looking man with a great hammer would come forth and through some kind of a ball bearing process or whatever would roll out. And then he would strike the great bell, exactly as programmed. Quite interesting. And by the way, they do have these bell towers, even in Europe today. But the craftsman, the artisan, this famous inventor, whose name was Belladonna, he was also an evil man. And he noticed that there was a small crack in the body of the robotic-like creature that he had, you know, crafted. And he said, that's a crack. And the impact and the sound, the vibrations, you know, of him swinging this great hammer into the bell might cause him to crack and break open. Well, I can't have that. I've got to somehow burnish the metal and repair the crack, the fissure in his metal body. And he decided that he would need a human sacrifice to make sure that the operation would work. And so he killed one of the workers. He killed one of the workers and he took his blood and he grafted it on and burnished it into the metal of the creature. Well, need I tell you more? You'll have to get my book if you've never read The Bell Tower by Melville. But it seems that the whole town came out. The mayor, the city council, everyone came out for the inauguration of the bell tower. But at the appointed time, right at the, what was it, noon? You know, 12 noon, whatever. Nothing happened. The door didn't open. The creature didn't come out with his great hammer. The bell was not rung. And so they rushed up the stairs, the winding stairs, and at the top they found Belladonna, the great inventor, the artisan, the craftsman. He lay with a mortal wound to his head at the very feet of the robotic creature. It seemed somehow something had happened at the last moment. Did he trip and fall? But he fell right in the way, and the track did not allow the creature to go all the way to the bell. Instead, he began to bang with his hammer. And he banged and he banged into the head of his creator. And Melville ends with the famous line, "The pride of Belladonna led him to murder. The pride and the worship not of God but of Satan caused this horrible incident. And so pride goeth before a fall," wrote Melville. Now, friends, I want to assure you that computers have no souls. Robots have no souls. Statues have no souls. But they can have demonic spirits behind them that inspire them, that use them synthetically. And, you know, there are so many examples we could talk about this. We've talked about the voodoo dolls. You know that many Catholics today around the world actually worship statues and paintings. If they have a painting and it seems like, you know, they claim that the painting, Mary begins to cry. The tears come down the picture, they claim, or the painting. Or the statue begins to cry. And thousands of Catholics will come forth and bow at the statue that's crying. The crying Mary, the crying Christ, or whatever. And of course, there are many apparitions of Mary. In the ancient days of Greece and Rome, it was said that in many of the Greek and Roman temples, the statues would speak and move about. Sort of a precursor, isn't it, of the book of Revelation, where the image of the beast speaks. I was reading recently George Orwell's book, 1984, and right on the very first page, chapter one, is an interesting passage. It talks about the character Winston in the book. I need you to call him the hero or whatever, because he did learn to love Big Brother in the end, unfortunately. But it talks about everywhere in the book, you could see giant posters in color. The visage, the picture, the image of Big Brother. Now, this is in the book 1984 by George Orwell. It says here, even as he went up, the elevator was broken in his building. We're in an apartment. And he had to go up the stairs. And at every landing, each floor he came to, there was another huge color poster of Big Brother. He says, on each landing, the poster with the enormous face of Big Brother gazed from the wall. It was one of those pictures, writes Orwell, which are so contrived that the eyes follow you about when you move. Big Brother is watching you, the caption beneath it ran. Think of that. Wherever you went, the eyes seemed to follow you. You know, a lot of people were shocked the first time they saw covers of books and pictures developed through laser holography. Laser, 3D pictures. They seemed to move about. And you know, this technology is true. It was almost 20 years ago that General Motors, of course is now Obama Motors, but in any case, it was General Motors. And at the huge international auto show in Detroit, they created a system where on a huge pedestal or platform, they placed laser holographic projectors. And then right in the middle, they turned these on and they created an image of an automobile. And the wheels were moving and it turned about. It seemed to be real. And one wonders if maybe this will be the image of the beast, some form of laser holography. Some people say the entire planet is alive, of course. And through some form of cosmogenesis, the earth itself is alive and all these stars are alive. And they're going through some evolutionary process. Now, you may laugh at this, but environmentalists believe it. Millions of environmentalists believe the earth, the planet, is alive. Mother Earth lives. Of course, we know that there are actually plants on this planet that are alive. Of course there are. You fertilize them because they're alive and they consume the fertilizer and the elements of the earth and they grow. Or they don't grow. They get diseases just like human beings live and die. All kinds of plant vegetation that happens too. Then there are the carnivorous plants. You know the ones that you the fly eater, the Venus trap or whatever, you can actually feed little critters to them. I don't know how big the critters are. I know they eat flies. Mosquitoes, it's reputed that they are able to eat little mice and things. Can you believe a plant would eat an animal? I guess it happens. They're alive. They have some form of intelligence, don't they? Apparently, they do. Now, friends, here's what I'm getting at. The Bible makes clear that we are to worship only the one true God. And we do not need a symbol. And I have nothing against the cross. And I believe in the symbol of the cross in the sense that Jesus Christ died on the cross. But he lives. He was resurrected. And he lives forevermore. It's not the cross that can save you as a symbol. It's what Jesus did. It's he, that being, that great God whom we should and do serve, who can redeem man's broken, unsaved heart. At the same time, the Bible tells us that the devil comes for us with, as Revelation says, the image of the beast, with devils, with idols, and they're everywhere today. Who erected them? The people of Satan. The people of the lie, the people of the servant. Can they possess human souls? The Bible makes clear that they can, that they are dangerous. There's some kind of a sympathetic energy force, vibration, supernatural evil about them. We need to avoid them. We need to expose them. We need to unmask them. We should have nothing to do with them. Remember again, dear friends, the eternal truth. God is spirit. And we must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy today. It's great being with you each day during this same time. My prayer, in fact, is you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.